said I oppose fracking.
Show the tape. Put it on your website. Put it on the website.
Live from Clark Studios in Rochester, New York, broadcasting around the world. You're listening to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good morning, America. It's so great to be back for another season of You Made It Political, the fastest growing, at least one of the fastest growing conservative shows on the internet today. It's an honor to be able to be here with all of you to celebrate Memorial Day weekend right here from Clark Studios in Rochester, New York. We have an epic show for you all today. We're going to discuss more of the Biden disaster. We all know what an absolute catastrophe Biden has turned the Afghanistan evacuation into. We're going to discuss General Milley now saying that civil war is likely in Afghanistan, the country we just pulled out of. Are we seriously considering going back into protect the country from having a civil war? The whole thing is so backwards and doesn't make sense. We're also going to discuss a Florida diner who is refusing service from Biden voters. She wants nothing to do with anybody who voted for Biden. She is actually turning away Biden voters. And it actually was a hit. Business is booming with her over in Florida. We'll discuss how one out of five Americans also want Biden out. They want Biden out. One out of five Biden voters actually want their vote back. They want their vote back. They're disgusted by it. And we're going to also discuss a little bit about what's going on over in Canada. It's disgusting how tyrannical they are getting. So let's start the show today with the fact that Biden admin, I mean, as if you, you never could imagine in a thousand years. You never can imagine in a thousand years that things would get worse over in Afghanistan. It's so bad that private companies, private security companies have now gone in. They've gone in to rescue the remaining Americans that are left there. Okay, so they've gone in. They've decided to take it upon themselves. They've gone in these private charter flights. I mean, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of their own money to say, you know what, forget, we're not waiting for the U.S. government to go in and evacuate these people anymore. We're done. We're done with Biden. We're done with the Democrats. We are done waiting. We're going to go in on our own dime, and we're going to get these people out. So the Americans that are there are hiring private chartered jets to come in to get them out. So they're getting ready to leave. They're all getting ready to leave. And about six planes are grounded. Six planes cannot leave. Why? Because the Biden admin has blocked Americans from leaving. Why on earth are they doing this? Well, red tape. They're blocking these planes because they claim we need to process all of these Americans that are leaving that want to come to the United States. Okay, I get that. I get that we can't just put anyone on a plane and start shipping them to the United States. But what happened to the thousands of people per hour that were just rushed out of Afghanistan and are ending up in American countries all over the place or in American states? States are taking these people in left, right, and center by the tens of thousands. What happened last week when we were literally flying C-17s, thousands of people at a time out of that country recklessly, irresponsibly? Don't tell me you were processing all of these people then. Well, now that private planes have gone into the country, into Kabul, to now rescue, we're talking a few hundred people here. You could probably load the remaining Americans onto a few planes, which they're doing, six private charter jets, and get them out in 2 seconds. But nope, Biden has a problem with that. The Democrats aren't okay with that. Why? Red tape. You've got to be kidding me. It's because it's making them look bad. So let's break this down a little bit, guys. Take a look at exactly what's going on here and why and why we are stopping these people from leaving the country. So the State Department is blocking private rescue flights from leaving Afghanistan. An organizer saying, if any of these Americans are killed, the blood is on your hand. We already know the blood is on Biden's hand from the suicide bombing that happened last week. 170 Afghan citizens plus 13 U.S. military servicemen and women. They've all died. We know that. The blood is on Biden's hands, 100%. The blood is on the hands of the Democrats. But now we have Americans, the few remaining who are trying to get out, and are stranded there on the tarmac, literally on the tarmac. So what's the deal here? Why exactly are we not letting them go? So the State Department's delays are recklessly endangering American lives. Three different individuals involved in the private evacuation has now told Fox News. Rick Clay, so we got this gentleman named Rick Clay, who actually runs one of the private rescue groups, Plan B, it's called Plan B, told Fox News that the State Department is the only thing preventing the flights he's organizing from leaving Afghanistan. Two other American individuals separately involved in evacuation efforts told Fox News, and they don't want to name these people to avoid jeopardizing the ongoing rescue efforts, that they're saying similarly said that the State Department is the sole entity preventing their charter flights from leaving Afghanistan. This is zero place to be negotiating with American lives right now. Zero place. Those are our people standing on the tarmac. And all it takes is an effing phone call, one of the individuals have said, who has been integral to the private evacuation. All it takes is one effing phone call. And that's it to get these people out. So exactly what's going on here? Why are they stuck? A lot of people are saying, well, why do they need permission? Why do they need permission at all to leave the tarmac? Because these planes, they need to land in neighboring Middle Eastern countries on American bases or in flying into American bases. So they do need authorization. They need authorization from the United States government. They're not even trying to come to America at this point. They're just trying to get to neighboring countries right now. And the Biden administration is saying, nope. We need to vet these people. We need to check them out, which is absolute insanity because of how many people they just flew out. This Rick Clay guy has a manifest of 4,500 names of U.S. citizens, green card holders, SIVs, and refugees trying to get stateside. So far, they've given the State Department 800 names for a first round of flight. So 4,500 people they're trying to get out. That is a lot of people. We've left 4,500 people confirmed because we now have a manifest of these people. So far, Rick Clay and his company, Plan B, who's flown in privately to get these people out, have given the State Department 800 names for a first round of flights. Fox News has reviewed that manifest, which confirms Clay's account. It's tragic. It's ridiculous that we are playing politics right now at a time where American lives are at stake. Every second that these Americans are stuck there on the tarmac is another potential suicide bombing, is another potential Taliban attack on these people. So now that we've gone in privately, the Biden administration has a problem with this because it's making them look bad. Let's see what the American people have to say about the insanity of the fact that Biden admin is blocking stranded Americans on the tarmac. Ron says they are blocking these Americans because they know they won't vote Republican. Listen, as crazy as that sounds, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I mean, look who we let into this country. South Americans by the thousands seeking asylum. Why? Because they're buying their Democratic votes. Who don't we let into the country? Cubans. Who fight for freedom. They didn't let any Cubans in. No Cubans were allowed to seek asylum, even though their democracy was under attack. They were fighting for the freedoms, railing for the freedoms. And we don't let in any Cubans. As a matter of fact, Director of Homeland Security, the next day after the news broke, said, don't come to America. You will not be let in. What happened to the asylum seekers that we care so much about? What happened to helping our neighboring countries? Oh, no. It's only okay as long as those people are likely to vote Democrat. If there's even a whiff of a Republican vote, they want nothing to do with letting these people in. So, Ron, I wouldn't doubt it that they are intentionally blocking these Americans because they know they will vote Republican if they get back home. The Democrats left them to die, so they sure don't want any Republican voters to get back safe. Hey, call that comment crazy, but I don't blame Ron one bit for throwing that up there. Dean says, weird that so many of the same people involved in leadership positions during Benghazi are now involved in this situation. Of course, Democrats, listen, Trump was right when he said everything woke turns to shit. He was 100% right. The Democrats and everything that they touch turns to shit. Because you don't get any woker, any more progressive, any more radical than the Democrats. You just don't. I mean, it's so far left. They are so gone right now. They're so gone that even the moderates don't see what's going on right now. They've been brainwashed or hijacked. I mean, I don't know who's paying these people off, but somebody. The teachers' unions are in on it. The far left progressive liberals are definitely in on it. Democrats and even some rhinos, which is the worst part. The most painful part about this whole thing is the rhinos are in on it as well. The rhinos are in on it. So you got these tyrannical, far left leaning, organizations all in on the take. And it's the same people that were involved in Benghazi. So I'm not surprised this whole thing went disastrously wrong. Notice how it only goes wrong with Democrats. Benghazi, horribly wrong. Hillary Clinton, I mean, disaster. Disaster. 4 years under Trump. 4 years under President Trump. What went wrong? Nothing. We were at peace. We finally made peace treaties with the Middle East. It was great. Great to have peace in the Middle East under Trump. He was one of four presidents in United States history that didn't start a single war in his entire 4 years. Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing to have. Yes, Trump may have started the exit. He wanted everybody out by May 1st, but he had contingencies. Trump would have never, in a million years, he would have never had people evacuate Afghanistan in the order that they went. He never would have done it. So it's disastrous. The Americans are pissed. We have now 4,500 people confirmed, a manifest of 4,500 people on the ground in Afghanistan, Americans who want to get out, but Biden's blocking it. Biden's blocking it. Mike says, if this is true, then this administration really needs to be investigated and heads need to roll. To block our people from leaving, to not lose more political popularity is absolutely unacceptable. And that's exactly what's going on, Mike. They don't want to lose popularity. It's all about face with the Democrats. They would rather kill Americans. Look what's happening with COVID. They don't care about how many people are dying from the vaccine. It's all for the greater good of power and greed, 100% sponsored by and endorsed by the Democrats. Awful situation. What's going on in Afghanistan? We continue to pray. Happy Memorial Day for all of you guys who are just joining me today. It's an honor to be able to come to you live as we kick off another season of You Made It Political. We are live streaming right now. We are live streaming from Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, and we'll be replaying podcasts all over your favorite podcasts, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Spotify, and a dozen others. So make sure you catch all the replays as they go live. So we know things are bad in Afghanistan. Things are horrible. They're so bad. This is how insane the situation is. They're so bad. They are so bad right now. They're so bad that General Milley is now saying that civil war in Afghanistan is likely. You think? Why would that not happen after the Taliban just ransacked the Afghan army? What's even more insane about this entire situation, however, is that we're actually considering sending troops back to Afghanistan to and now deal with preventing the Civil War. I mean, how stupid can we be? What an absolute catastrophe this whole thing is. Biden botches evacuation. We then need to send in 6,000 troops to help with the evacuation. We finally get everybody out at the expense of 13 military servicemen who died. And now that we're out, we're stopping the remaining 4,500 people from being flown out on private charter jets. And it's only a matter of time before we send troops back in to prevent Afghanistan's next civil war. I mean, we're either the dumbest country on planet Earth right now, or this is all by design. Last week, I showed you a clip of how much money we left the Taliban. Tens of millions of dollars cash, pallets and pallets of cash. We know we left $85 billion worth of military equipment, guns, ammunition, Blackhawks, all left there. All left there. I'm not talking about the military equipment actually on airport in Kabul airport that we saw videos of our military destroying before they left. I'm talking about the stuff throughout the entire country of Afghanistan. So General Milley now says a civil war in Afghanistan is likely. I mean, this is like freaking, it's just so crazy to me. It's so crazy to me that we're actually considering sending in more troops to manage now a civil war between the Afghan army and the Taliban. Isn't that exactly why we just left? So we didn't have to be involved in this debacle? So we didn't have to lose more American lives to a war that was never ours to fight in the first place? And now we're considering sending in these troops to now deal with this? So townhall.com reports General Milley now says that we believe that it's very likely that conditions of a civil war could develop in Afghanistan now that the U.S. no longer has a military presence in the region, and that such a conflict could lead to reconstitution of terror groups such as Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Yeah, no shit, Milley. I mean, what'd you think was going to happen? What'd you think was going to happen when we left the country defenseless against one of the most dangerous terror groups in the world? What'd you think was going to happen? You thought Al-Qaeda and ISIS were going to say, hey, thanks, U.S., thanks for protecting the Afghan people. You know what? This old peace thing's pretty cool. We're going to let Afghan military run things peacefully just as you did while you were here. Yeah, I don't think so. The Taliban has been chomping at the bit. Al-Qaeda has been chomping at the bit. Just sitting there licking their chops, rubbing their hands, waiting for the day for us to get the hell out of Afghanistan so they can go in guns blazing, hijack that country and take it back over. I mean, they just did it in like 24 hours. 24 hours it took the Taliban to take control of the country. And now we're sitting here surprised that there might be a civil war. To be honest, see how quickly Taliban hijacked the Afghan military? I'm guessing we're not going to really see a civil war because I haven't really seen the Afghan people step up and fight for their freedom and their rights, like, ever. And I hate to say this, but this is why we were there in the first place, because the Afghan people didn't have the guts and courage to fight for their own country. They just want Americans to come in and save the day once again. Costs us too much money. Costs us American lives. We're done with it. And if we send people back in there to now break up a civil war between the Taliban and the Afghanistan citizens, then that suicide bombing was all for nothing. That evacuation was all for nothing. Biden continues to call it a success. It was anything but a success. It was a monumental failure. Nobody wants to hear from Biden. None of the military parents, brothers, sisters of the people who died, they don't want to hear from Biden. They're disgusted with him. They're disgusted with him. They don't want to hear from him. They turned his back to him during the ceremony last week. They refused to meet with him. It just goes to show how furious our own military is with their commander-in-chief. It's a sign, and it's a very good indication that the wrong guy was elected into office. whether legitimately or not, the wrong man was elected. Everyone from the American people down to the military do not want this man in office. They are sick of him. So General Milley is now saying that a civil war is likely and the conflict could lead to the reconstitution of terror groups such as Al-Qaeda or ISIS. The general noted, now that U.S. troops have been pulled from Afghanistan, maintaining U.S. security and intelligence gathering in the region will be increasingly difficult. Milley, why is this a surprise to you? Obviously, you just pulled everybody. You pulled them before you got American civilians out. Of course, it's going to be increasingly difficult. Of course, maintaining U.S. security and intelligence gathering in that region is going to be increasingly... What do you mean increasingly difficult? How about damn right impossible? It's just going to be impossible to maintain U.S. security and intelligence. You just pulled everybody, which is why we can't even get in there to get the remaining American citizens out. Thankfully, the companies, private companies like Plan B and others that are chartering flights over there to pull them out. Thank God for them. Milley then goes on to say, we'll have to reestablish some human intelligence networks, etc. And then as opportunities present themselves, we'll have to continue conduct strike operation if there's a threat to the United States. So we're already talking about going back in and blasting these people out of the sky for messing with the Afghan people. President Biden has previously said that over-horizon counterterrorism capabilities will continue through the use of military airstrikes instead of having boots on the ground. So now we're just going to go start blowing people up. What was the point of evacuating if we're going to have to go in and start blowing all these people up? What was the point of evacuating if we're going to get caught up in their civil war? Even sending in one drone and blowing these people sky high is getting back involved. I don't care if there aren't boots on the ground, Biden. You're sending in strikes to blow them up. You're now putting Americans back in danger. Lindsey Graham said last week that the next terror attack is very imminent here on American soil. With all of the people that we just flew in, we can fly in thousands of Afghan citizens an hour. An hour. You saw C-17s leaving Afghanistan by the thousands, all recklessly flying into the United States. So we know there are terrorist cells within these flights out. We know that they're now mobilizing throughout the United States. Why wouldn't they be? ISIS has said from day one, our mission in life is to kill Americans. It's to destroy America. So why wouldn't they have snuck on during the absolute chaos and turmoil? Yet we can't authorize private planes to fly out to safety. Private planes full of Americans. The whole thing has been backwards from day one. The whole disastrous catastrophe. What do the American people have to say about the fact that General Milley says a civil war in Afghanistan is likely? Hollis says America has just gotten a hard and disgusting lesson on accountability. Yes, we have, Hollis. We've gotten a disgusting lesson on accountability, incompetence, and responsibility, and now it is time to clean house, especially those that took an oath to protect and service this country. Because at some point, their horrible decisions will not be able to be corrected and reversed. It's hard to imagine a more stupid or more dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who will pay no price for being wrong. Thomas Sowell. That's what's happened. Listen, we screwed up. We voted the village idiot into office. We voted cackling Kamala into office. We have the blind leading the blind. And we deserve what we get. This is what America wanted. Well, America, I hope you're happy with the absolute disastrous of a situation that we've now put the American people in. We get three more years of terror threats now. 3 more years of terrorist groups mobilizing to America with the sole intention of blowing up our buildings, blowing up our planes, suicide bombings right here on American soil is imminent. Lindsey Graham has warned he is worried sick over the fact that there is going to be another terrorist attack. David says, sorry, General, you have very little credibility with regard to anything. True. You evidently agreed to the disastrous events that unfolded in Afghanistan and left tons of military material in the hands of terrorists. Wayne says, thanks to the most worthless POTUS and a sorry excuse for an administration clowns top to bottom. They are absolute clowns from top to bottom. It's very sad. Very sad what's happened. Coming back to Florida, returning back, how upset are the American people right now? Well, this one diner in Florida, this one restaurant owner in Florida says she's more concerned with the fact, with the lives lost in Afghanistan, she's more concerned with lives lost in Afghanistan than losing customers. One America's Mackenzie Miller has broke this story over at OANN. There's this Florida restaurant owner. She is refusing Biden voters. Okay? She is refusing Biden voters service at her restaurant. Let's take a listen.
One restaurant owner in Florida says she's more concerned with the lives lost in Afghanistan than losing customers. One America's Mackenzie Miller has more on why her business is now booming.
It was the only thing I felt like I can do.
Florida restaurant owner Angie Ugardi sees business boom after posting a sign telling Biden supporters to take their business elsewhere. On Thursday, Ugardi's restaurant, the Dabari Diner, closed down after selling out of food due to a surge in demand. She says she posted the sign the same day the 13 soldiers were killed in Afghanistan, and she's now blaming Joe Biden and his administration for the damage done and the lives lost in the Middle East.
I was just let down. I felt like one of those mothers or wives or sisters who were going to get that knock on the door.
Ugardi's strong passion is evident by the entire wall in her restaurant dedicated to service members, as many of her regular customers are veterans.
If you really, really still stand behind what's allowed this to happen in the way that it has happened, which was unnecessary, then I really, really don't want to be associated with you in any way, and I certainly don't want your business.
Though people were turned away, it didn't seem to matter because her point was getting across to members in the community.
It's just not about the 13, it's about everybody who sacrificed their lives. And what administration, whether it was the Obama administration, all the way back to the Bush administration, including Trump, people who lost their lives, those people respected. These 13 were so disrespected.
Mackenzie Miller, One American News.
So I think it's great. I think it's awesome that she's done this. She's just said, listen, I can't be associated. I cannot be associated anymore with anybody who's voted for this nonsense. And you know what? Don't even come into my restaurant. Don't come into my restaurant because I just want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with you. I think you guys supporting this, you supporting this disaster, you're not the type of customers that I want. And I think it's great. I completely support this move. I think it's awesome. I love that she's now forcing Democrats to think long and hard about what they brought upon this country. Because not only is the blood of the fallen on Joe Biden's hands, it's also on everybody who voted for this mess. Everybody. So I hope everybody takes a hard, long think about this and decides very carefully how they're going to vote at the polls coming up in the 2022 primaries, as well as the 2024 presidential election. And you know what? When I saw this, I kind of thought, this is great. Because I am so sick to death. I am so sick to death of the medical segregation that's going on in America right now. treating the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated differently. So this is good that Angie Ugarte, owner of Dabari Diner down in Florida, she stuck it back to most of these, indirectly stuck it to the vaccinated crowd as well, because we know most of the vaccinated are Democrats. And she's saying, you know what? I'm going to segregate also. Seeing that we're now in a segregation war, seeing now that we're segregating vaccinated and non-vaccinated, screw it. I'm going to start segregating Democrats and Republicans. If you're a Democrat, get out of my restaurant. If you're a Republican, you're welcome with open arms. It sucks being segregated against, doesn't it? This is the first counterattack to medical segregation that I've personally seen here in the United States, and I hope more businesses follow suit. I really do. I've actually seen some signs from people, some signs on restaurants that have said, listen, if you are vaccinated, do not come into my restaurant because, you know, we're worried that you're going to shed the Delta variant. We have a right too. We have a right just like the other businesses. So if you're vaccinated, stay away. So this is what the Democrats have now done in America. They are so stupid when it comes to these childlike tactics. And that's what they are. The Democrats just, they're little children that think they know best for America. But every decision that they make, people always say, Matt, well, the Democrats are always 10 steps ahead. They know what they're doing. I don't think so. I really don't buy into that. I don't. I think they know what they're doing. But every decision that they make, if you haven't noticed, people, backfires on them. Every decision backfires on the Democrats. And we're seeing it time and time again. They make these rules that they think are good for the American people, but then they don't follow it themselves and they think, oh, wait, shoot, that's not a good rule. Let's abandon that rule. Or they try to limit customers and businesses. And then businesses say, actually, we're going to sue the hell out of you because that's against our constitutional rights. And then they look like fools because they didn't think their game plan through. They didn't think the American people were actually going to stand up to them. Well, I got something for you guys. You're going to have a lot more than people fighting legally for our constitutional rights soon, because it's just a matter of time before we follow what we've witnessed in Australia, what we're now witnessing in the United Kingdom, what we're about to witness in Canada. It's only a matter of time before shit hits the absolute fan in America and we take our fight to the streets. It's going to happen. General Milley's worried about a civil war in Afghanistan. I'm worried about a civil war right here on American soil with the direction that we're headed as a country, with the absolute nonsense that we continue to have to bend over for. So it's great to see restaurants segregate back. Two wrongs don't make a right? Sorry, we're way beyond that point right now. Two wrongs absolutely make a right. Democrats started it. They started this childhood BS that's now filtering throughout America. Biden started segregating. Cuomo segregated. Newsom, de Blasio, all segregation. So two could play at this game. So it's great that Angie has now come back and said, hey, get out of my restaurant if you're a Biden voter. I cannot be associated with you anymore. I think it's phenomenal. What's going on over in Twitter? We've got some other breaking news, and I'm not surprised by this. Not surprised at all. Not surprised by the fact that one in five Americans want to take their vote for Biden back. They want their Biden vote back. Are you surprised? Look at everything that's happened. We've botched the Afghanistan evacuation. We now are considering sending troops back. We're sick of the medical segregation. We're sick of the COVID BS. We're sick of Dr. Fauci. Democrats are even sick of it. One in five Americans want to take their vote for Biden back. One-fifth of voters who marked Joe Biden's name on their ballot now want their vote back, according to a new poll. Let's break this down a little bit, and I'll show you exactly what's going on here. So more males actually regretted their vote than females. There's a survey done recently, a survey done by Zogby Analytics. More males regretted their vote than females, as did more minorities. Now, this is interesting, and this is where Democrats are starting to shit themselves. More minorities are regretting their vote than white people. and I knew this was going to happen. And I said this a few months ago. I said minorities are fleeing their countries because they want nothing to do with government overreach. They want nothing to do with socialism and communism. So everybody keeps saying, oh, the Democrats are buying their votes. They're letting them in because they're just going to, you know, they're buying their votes. These people are all going to vote Democrat. I don't think so. I don't think so. And I've argued against this since day one. I feel like these minorities, they're going to pull one over the Democrats. They're going to get in. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Kamala. Thanks for our asylum. Anyway, I'm voting Republican because I left this garbage. This is what I flee. And if you talk to any immigrant, ask any immigrant who they're voting for, most are going to say a Republican. Most are going to say they voted for Trump because they know firsthand what socialism and communism looks like. They want nothing to do with that. They fled to America, the freest country on earth, for a reason. So it's interesting that more minorities than white people are regretting their decision. Young Biden voters were more likely to regret their vote than older ones. 3 in 10 Republicans who voted for Biden now regret doing so. Damn rhinos. You guys should be ashamed of yourself because you did this. You were the tipping point to give Biden the win. If you just stuck to the Republican Party, if you just stayed loyal, but no, you turned your back on Trump. You turned your back on the Republican people. You turned your back on America. That's what you've done. But 3 in 10 Republicans now regret voting for Biden. The poll was conducted before the fall of Kabul. So can you imagine what these numbers look like now? 1/5 of voters who marked Joe Biden's name on their ballot now want their vote back, according to a new poll. A poll conducted by Zogby Analytics found 20% of Biden voters now regret their choice. 4% aren't sure. And of course, you have the crazy, confused people. 76% still have confidence in the commander in chief. Nearly 3 in 10, 30% Republicans who voted for Biden regret it, while 1/5, 20% of Democrats felt the same, and 14% of independents. If you had a revote right now, a Republican would win. Trump would win. If Trump went up against Biden right now today, there's no doubt whatsoever. Lesson learned, America. Lesson learned. Men were far more likely to regret their vote than women. 27% of males regretted their vote for the Democratic ticket, where only 13% of females felt the same. Young people, minorities, were also far more likely to regret their vote. Hispanics regretted their vote the most. 33% of them, where 25% of African Americans felt the same, as did 16% of white people. Very, very interesting. I'm sure everybody watching the show, I bet 99% of you voted for Trump. I think that goes without saying. And for those of you who are watching the show and appreciate the free speech and my fight to defend the Constitution on a daily basis, I wouldn't put it past you and go as far as to say, I bet you guys regret you voting for Biden, those Democrats who do tune in to watch the show. So not surprised at all. What do the American people have to say about the fact that 1 in 5 Americans want to take their vote back for Biden? They wish they never voted for the village idiot. Pep says we need the ability to have the ability and authority to demand a recall election on all politicians. I agree. All politicians. I'm sorry if my audio was down this entire time. I just realized I turned the gain down on that. You guys probably didn't hear anything I just said, so apologize for that. But we are back. We're talking about the fact that 1 out of 5 voters regret their vote for Biden. Pep says we need the ability to have the ability and authority to demand a recall election on all politicians, president, senator, reps. Nobody should be above the citizens' choice. Hold them accountable to the citizens. The American people are pissed. They want their vote back. AZ Coog says, if your math excludes the other half of the population and all the votes from dead people, then yes, your math makes sense. So for those of you who missed it, all the commentary earlier, because probably the volume got cut there, but 1 in 5 Americans want to take their vote for Biden back. That is the deal that is going on right now in America. 1 in 5 Americans say that they regret voting for Biden. So we know things are getting very, very difficult. We know they're getting difficult in America, but Canada is taking things to a whole new level. In Winnipeg, Montioba, resident Sean Zimmer is now under attack from the police, and he was hit with multiple fines, totally more than $5,000, for hosting outdoor fitness classes in his backyard. The police are now coming to him and saying, nope, you cannot do that. Let's take a listen at the video.
Right on, guys. All right, who's ready to get this workout started?
Woo! We've got 1, 2, 3 undercover cars that think that's a good use of our tax dollars to come here and bother these people working out.
It's illegal for you to be working out, but you can go to the beer store. You can go to the farmer's market right there, line up. Have all the candy you want. But you can't be here doing this. We got these guys, you got a fucking problem with it. Good to see you guys. You want to work out?
What's it take it for? I can't hear you with that fucking muzzle. Failure to comply, because all these people working out is illegal? They can't work out here, is that right?
They come right here on the fence. We're not doing this in a private location. My house is next to one of the busiest streets here. And they come here and they've gave me 3 fines so far, $1,300, $1,300, and $2,600.
So Rebel News reported that. Rebel News reported all that. They are now getting fined in Canada. All these guys are trying to do is work out. And this is what's going on in Australia. It's going on in Canada. And it's just, it's ridiculous that these people aren't fighting back, except for this one guy. This one guy from the video I just showed you, he is fighting back. He's absolutely fighting back. And he said, I don't care how many fines I get. You guys can fine me $1 million for all I care. You can fine me $1 million for all I care, because I'm going to keep fighting this nonsense. Let's play some more of this.
Each year, and they come here and they've gave me 3 fines so far, $1,300, $1,300, and $2,600. And they just stick it right in the fence and they get their butts out of here as quick as they can. They won't even give me their names. They say it's for going against public health orders. Because originally when I started this, you weren't allowed to gather more than one person. Then 5 people, and then 10 people now. For me, if you tell me I can gather with 10,000 people, I want 10,001. You don't tell me how many people we can gather with here. So the police interaction was pretty embarrassing on their part. I'm going to be honest with that. Yeah.
What exactly are the fines for? I'm assuming it's for violating the public health order, right?
Violating the public health order, yeah. Violating the public health order. That's it. They won't even describe it to me. Like I said, I asked them to identify themselves. One gave me a badge number. That's it.
I need you to identify yourself, first and last name, a badge number, and take the mask off, please.
I will give you badge number 3257.
They don't even show the badge number anymore. I mean, how is this legal? You have to show a badge number. You don't just say a badge number. In Canada, I'm pretty sure you have to actually show your badge number. What's going on with these cops? Why are they doing this? How are they allowed to get away with it? This is the first step to a tyrannical government taking over. Get the police on board, which is what they're doing. And I hope to God this never happens in America, but it's happening in Canada right now. They're not even following their own laws that they need to show a badge number.
Yeah, you want to identify yourself? We got 3 police officers. So why are you guys doing this? What is that for? You never explained one of these to me yet. What is it for?
You got more than 10 people. You're only allowed 10
people. Only allowed 10 people? What about the hundreds of people at the farmer's market buying alcohol and baked goods and all that?
2 masks on outside. I think they might have a little bit of issues with their cognitive function with that lack of breathing. So it's sad to see, honestly.
As you may know, we have a campaign.
So what's going on right now? Rebel News over in Canada, this documentary was done by Rebel News, and this is great, and I'll let Rebel News explain it in a minute, but we got to start doing this here in America. Rebel News is actually starting GoFundMe accounts to fund patriots who go up against a tyrant government. So all of these fines that this gym owner here that's running the boot camp out of his backyard, all these fines that he's racking up, Rebel News and their GoFundMe account is going to pay for these fines. So what they're doing is they're saying, hey, thank you for putting your neck on the line. Thank you for standing up. We're going to actually start paying your fines. Anybody who wants to go up against a tyrannical government and prove that this entire thing is BS, we will pay for these fines. So I'll let these guys explain it.
Campaign at Rebel News called FightTheFines.com, where we crowdfund legal fees for people just like yourself and provide them with a top criminal defense lawyer to back people like yourself 100% against fines just like this. Now, I'd like to formally offer you the campaign. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be interested. I think that's a great avenue to take to push back. But for me, you know, you can fine me $100 million for what we're doing here. I don't care. I'll never pay it. But most definitely, I would love that support so we can take a stand against this and show the individuals, bold individuals like myself and you out there watching this, are willing to take a stand and push back on this tyrannical rule, 100%.
So I think it's phenomenal. So guys, Fight the Fines. If you're in Canada, go to fightthefines.com to support this cause. They are starting GoFundMe accounts, and they're asking people to help fund these accounts. So when patriots go up against a tyrannical government, their fines are taken care of. And what's going to happen is, we're going to get to court and we're going to realize that the entire thing was BS. Same thing's going to happen in schools. Same exact thing's going to happen in the schools when the kids go to school and parents say, you know what? We've had enough. We're taking off the masks. I don't care. You can fine me $1,000 all day long. I do not care. Fine me the money. And when they go to court, the judge isn't going to be able to rule because it's no law. There's no law. The Department of Health can't just make up laws. Here in New York State, Kathy Hochul has now told the Department of Health that they have free rein to come up with ever guidance they want, ever health code they want. Well, you can't just do that. You can't just come up with ridiculous health codes and then hold your hands up, Kathy Hochul, and say, hey, it has nothing to do with me. And the teachers' unions are going to say, it has nothing to do with us. Health department. Well, how about this? I don't give a shit what the health department throws at our schools. I'm not following it. My kid's not going to wear a mask. And then what's going to happen is the schools are going to say, well, $1,000 fine, Mr. Clark, every time he doesn't wear a mask. And I'm going to say, I can care less. I can rack up $100,000 in fines. Who's going to actually make me pay these fines? Well, the court can't because it's not legal. It's not a law. You're just throwing imaginary fines. Here, while we're at it, I'm going to write out, here's a $10,000 fine for being an absolute idiot, and you pay my fine. Oh, well, Mr. Clark, that's ridiculous. You can't fine me for being an idiot. Yeah, no shit. And neither could the Department of Health fine me for my four-year-old not wearing a mask. So if we're going to play silly games, then expect silly responses. Expect us to take silly action. And that's what I hope will happen come the school year. So fightthefines.com have come out with a great concept. It's a patriotic concept in Canada that they are now raising money to financially support patriots who go up against a tyrannical government to help bail them out. So if you're in Canada, take a look. I'd love to see something like this. I'd love to see something like this come out of the United States, because people, we are in very, very serious trouble. And things are just going to get worse. You know, I keep telling everybody that you can protest until you're blue in the face. You can hold rallies after back the blue parades, Trump parades. We can go wave flags all day long. I don't think any of it's going to work right now. I don't. I think the only thing that we're going to be able to really, really implement that's going to work, that's going to be effective, is non-compliance at this point. It's noncompliance. It's saying, listen, I'm not participating in your BS anymore. I'm not doing it. I will not be held hostage to the teachers' unions. My son will not be held hostage to your tyrannical overreach or to the school boards. School boards can't make laws. Teachers' unions can't make laws. Yeah, you can have guidelines, but they need to be thought out. And they need to follow some sort of legal hierarchy. You can't just tell us that you want all of our girls wearing polka dot dresses tomorrow and say, well, it's guidance. The school wants all women to wear polka dot dresses now and clown noses on their faces. I mean, is that where we're headed right now? That we can just come up with silly, stupid laws like the mask mandate and just everybody must follow it? What law next? What mandate next? And that is why we need to keep fighting. And that is why Canada's fighting. Australia's fighting. The UK is now fighting. And I have a feeling things are going to get a lot worse once schools mandate the vaccine. We know it's coming. Pfizer snuck in an approval, an FDA approval, 12 to 15. We know it's coming for the younger kids. We know it's just a matter of time before they hit 2 years old and up. And this is going to send mama bears over the edge. And I'm hoping that this is what finally pushes the American people into a state of noncompliance. I'm hoping that this is going to finally be the match that we need lit under our asses to get out there and fight and say, we are done. We are done complying. Democrats don't know what they're doing. Biden doesn't know what he's doing. We are done following a disastrous party. We're done destroying America. Our businesses will be open. We will go into any business that we want. We do not care. We will not tolerate medical segregation. We will not tolerate our children being used as pawns as part of an adult fight, all for ego and monetary gain. We need to put an end to this. And that's the only way that's going to happen, is if we actually take to the streets, take a chapter from the BLM playbook, and fight this thing out and literally say, we're not doing it. There's no way it's going to happen unless we show up in numbers. If you look at what Black Lives Matter did, what protest actually got anything done? Their songs of Kumbaya didn't do it. Their little rallies didn't do it. No. Flipping over tables at restaurants did it. Burning down buildings did it. Am I condoning violence? I don't really know anymore. I don't know what I'm supporting at this point. But to prevent a tyrant government from destroying our democracy, you better believe a chapter from the BLM playbook will be absolutely necessary. Because it's the only thing that got anything done. You've now got police reform. You've now got Democratic cities defunding the police. It worked. It worked. So maybe that's something that we need to consider. Maybe we need to get louder. Maybe we need to fight harder. Maybe we need things to get awkward before they get better, as they did with Black Lives Matter. It just might be the direction that we need to take things. So, guys, thank you very much. It's been an honor to come live at you all today, wherever you are in the country and all over the world, on Memorial Day. I hope you're having a great Memorial Day weekend. We are going to be here every day starting at 10 a.m. We stream live to Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, Twitch, DLive. We're also going to put all of the replays up on several of your favorite podcast platforms, Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. So if you haven't followed us yet, please follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. Please like us. Hit the bell for notifications so you're notified every single time that we go live every single day here from Clark Studios at 10 a.m. You guys have a great, great rest of your Memorial Day weekend. God bless our troops. God bless America. God bless all of you from home watching the show. You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to You Made It Political with Matt Clark. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show. Or leave us a review on iTunes. And if you like our show or want to know more, check out YouMadeItPolitical.com.